Okay, perfect. Thank you, everyone. This is Sharon Pope, and I am a relationship life coach, author, speaker, and host of the online weekly radio show, Tell the Truth with Sharon Pope. And I would like to welcome you to your last Valentine's Day alone. And this is going to be your path to creating the love that you desire in 2015. So first of all, thank you for being here with me today and for making what I'm sure will be a powerful investment in your love life. I often say that all we're here to do is to love and to be loved. So on a day that celebrates love, particularly when you don't yet have the love you desire in your life, it's incredibly empowering when you step forward and make time for something like this and say, I'm going to create a different experience this year so that at this time next year, I'm not spending this day alone. So if you're on this call, you're probably someone who obviously wants to have love in their lives. You may have been attracting the same types of people in the same difficult circumstances and can't figure out why. You may be someone who's been hesitant about opening your heart again because maybe it's been hurt before. Maybe you're like me and you had just gotten out of a long marriage and are trying to navigate this dating world, which looks a lot different than it did when we were much younger. Or maybe your story is as simple as you just haven't found the right one yet and life still feels a bit incomplete without having that love by your side. So whatever your path is, the one thing in common that we all have is that we want love in our lives. We want someone who will be by our side as a witness to our lives, and we want someone to share our lives with. So my intention for the next hour is to share with you my five most meaningful steps that you can take that will put you on your path to finding the love that you desire for yourself. Now, this is the stuff that nobody tells you. It has absolutely nothing to do with the logistics of dating, using this website or that website, how your profile should read on that site, where you frequent in order to meet people, or even some made-up rules around how quickly you should become intimate or shouldn't become intimate. It doesn't have anything to do with what you look like or even what you think your many flaws are, which are none. It doesn't even have anything to do with how long you've been single. And because we can be a little action-oriented, I think it's natural for us to want to make love happen. But that causes us to want to skip ahead to the details of finding your life partner before we ever go through the process of preparing for our love. So in a culture of immediate gratification, we want the bullet point list of how to meet, quote, the one, as if there is only one, and the quickest path to the finish line. So it's actually that finding your love is the last step in the process. And even that doesn't look like it should, because finding your love has much more to do with who you're being and becoming than the details and tools that you're using to find love. Okay? So I'm going to check in here on you all. There is, I just want to make sure that I've got someone. So here I go. Mute.
Hello?
Hello. All right. That's what I wanted to know. I just wanted to make sure that you guys were hearing me. Were you hearing me?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Thanks. You know, sometimes on these teleconferences, you just want to make sure that you guys are able to hear. So, all right, good. I'm glad I checked in. Let me put you back in lecture mode, but I'm going to promise you that at the end of this call, I'm going to open it up so you can ask me any questions, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. So first, I want to share with you a little bit about me and my story so that you have an understanding of how I got here. So I had the nice, handsome husband, and we lived in a four-bedroom home in a suburban golf community. We had nice cars and took vacations, I had a wide circle of friends, and we both had loving families. I had this good corporate job with silly things like a pension and a 401k. We had one dog and no children, and I had really no reason to be unhappy, but I was. I was unhappy, and I was lonely in my marriage. I had met my husband in graduate school, and at the age of 24, the ripe old age of 24, I knew he wouldn't lie to me, cheat on me, or leave me, as some of my past boyfriends had done. But what I didn't know at that very young age is that there's very little passion in the safe approach. So, you see, my husband and I, we had love for one another, but we were never lovers. We didn't cuddle. We didn't caress. We never lost time together. You know what I'm talking about. We never just awoke in each other's arms, and we very rarely had deep, meaningful conversations. He didn't require me to share too much of my soul with him, so I could stay safe and hidden, but not necessarily in love. So my marriage ended after 11 years, and it was a sad, lonely, and very unsettled place for me. And so it was during that time that we were separated that I began what I call playing with fire. Playing with fire to me is when I met Michael through some mutual friends. He was tall, broad-shouldered, very muscular, and devilishly handsome. He had a confidence and charm that just commanded attention when he walked in the room. And it didn't take long for us to establish this connection and become caught in this vortex of just real intense feelings and emotions and just really quickly falling for one another. And I gave him my heart, my mind, and my soul. And I had never allowed anyone that far into my heart before. And he was like oxygen for me during a time when I felt like I was on life support. But playing with fire is a very predictable activity. And not surprisingly, I got burned. So soon after telling me that he loved me, he began pulling away, seeing other women, making me feel suddenly very unimportant in his very important life. And he told me one day that he loved me, but he wasn't in love with me. So that breakup, because I had given away so much of myself, it really rocked me. I kind of lost my footing there for a while because Michael had awakened feelings in me that I had never felt before. And I was terrified that without him, I wasn't going to feel them again. I was afraid that I was going to go back to that numb existence I felt when I was married. And I was heartbroken. And there was a period of time where I could hardly pull myself up off the couch. I think I shed more months in the tears that followed than I had my entire adult life. So I continued trying to find a man that could fill that emptiness that I felt in my heart because I naively thought that was the solution. Just fill that hole. Find someone to love and that can love me back. And so I was handing my heart out to virtually anyone who was broken enough to take it. So I did that for a while. I probably don't have to tell you it didn't work very well. Until I just stopped. I stopped searching and reaching and grasping, and I just simply got still. I forced myself to get comfortable with being alone. I started asking myself some of the difficult questions of my life. I journaled to make sense of what was happening to me and what was going on in my life, and I kept coming across other women that were having similar experiences, really similar experiences to me, because this is the stuff that we don't all talk about, and so we think we're all alone. And so that became the basis for my memoir, my self-help book that I published early last year called Life, Love, Lies, and Lessons. Now, these experiences that I just shared with you, they were by far the most difficult period of my life. But I can look back on them now and see them as the catalyst for the most profound change and growth that I've had in my life. It was when I finally stopped running and hiding and trying to fill that thing, that emptiness, with somebody else. I spent the next 2 years answering those difficult questions of my life and getting really honest with myself and taking responsibility for how I had created the experiences that I had had so far in love. Now, I can look back at that time in my life and know that that whole experience, it wasn't just for my own growth and benefit. It was so that I could help other women and a few brave men find love in their own lives. So I always begin all of my blog posts and my radio shows with a quote, because I love quotes, I love words, I think they're really meaningful, and I'm a writer, so go figure. So I want to do that today as well. And today's quote that I'm going to use is from Iana Van Zandt, and it says, "You cannot get love from the outside until you are love on the inside." All right, so this class today is for you. If you are done being alone and you genuinely want to be in a committed relationship, if you feel like you've been left on the sidelines of love for reasons that maybe you can't control, if you've had your heart broken and are scared to trust again, this call's for you. If you've failed at love previously, I love the F word in relationships, right? You failed at love previously and have started to lose hope in finding it for yourself. Or you've just gotten out of a long-term marriage and are trying to navigate all of this. So after today's class, I want you to see that you can spend all the time you want spinning around on the dating hamster wheel. I did it. But the only way to be able to create a different experience for yourself is to get really honest with yourself and understand your role in creating the experiences that you've had so far. Truth is a big theme in my coaching practice, because I found that it's when you can really start to tell the truth about something, that's when you have the opportunity for a breakthrough. That's when hearts open up and when miracles happen. And that's when the lasting love you both desire and deserve shows up. So I'm going to lead you through it. So just be willing to dig a little bit for a little bit of courage and take this walk with me, because it's important work. So today what we're going to cover is the 5 most meaningful steps that you can take to put you on your path to finding love this year. There's no reason in the world why it can't be this year. We're going to cover how you actually play an important role in the creation of your experiences as it relates to love. We're going to talk about how attempting to bypass the 2 most important pieces of the process actually prevent you from getting the love that you really want. We're going to identify what's keeping you stuck in your love patterns, usually unconsciously, we don't know, and then understanding how to break free from those patterns. And then lastly, and I think really, really importantly, is how being really compassionate towards yourself through this process is going to lead you far greater results and can actually create the miracle of a soulful, passionate, and lasting love. So I am going to teach you as much as I can during this time that we have together, and I promise that at the end of the call, I'm going to show you how you can find out more information if you want to take it further for yourself. But hold your questions till the end, and I will open up the line for questions at the end, because I want to give you as much helpful information as possible during the short time that we have together. So let's begin. All right. So I told you that I'm a relationship life coach, and probably 95% of the people I work with is all around relationships. And I speak with many people every day who want to find love in their lives. They search, they try, they go on dates, they meet people, and they start adjusting their expectations. They try to have an open mind, and they begin to wonder, maybe there's something wrong with me. I can assure you there's not. Many people think that they finally found, quote, the one. I was speaking to a beautiful client earlier today, and she thought she had found that person. They talk about a future together. They begin making plans together. And then somehow it falls apart and someone gets their heart broken. But what most people don't realize, and that's because no one teaches you this stuff, is that you just skipped some important steps. That's all. Those important steps are understanding the role that fear has played to date in your relationships, doing some what I call soulful truth-telling about how you actually helped to unintentionally create the experiences that you've had, sometimes repeatedly, and how loving, accepting, and forgiving yourself is really important, because it's only then that you can really love, accept, and forgive anybody else. And without taking those deliberate steps to prepare yourself for the love you desire, not just run out and find it, but prepare yourself for it, love will very likely continue to elude you. So that's why I want to give you this information. A lot of that is because of what we don't heal from one relationship, we end up unconsciously carrying that into the next relationship. But I believe that if you are able to be courageous enough to take these five meaningful steps with me, that you can create a different experience for yourself and actually create the kind of love that you want in your life this year. Now, as we do this, it's really important to be gentle with yourself. I want you to explore these questions from a place of genuine interest and what I like to call compassionate curiosity. Don't use it as another excuse to beat yourself up or identify more ways that you somehow fall short. Goodness knows that we all have enough of those messages coming at us on any given day, and this isn't the place for that. This is a place to be willing to go within and to look a little deeper so that you can get the love that you want. Because looking truth in the eye is our place to find our strength, not our weaknesses. So if you don't have one already, I would encourage you to get a pen and a paper. I told you on the reminder, get yourself a cup of tea or a glass of wine. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? And settle in. Right, the first step. I want you to name the top three things that you fear the most as it relates to relationships. Fear is one of those nasty little critters that can hold us back from getting what we really want. Sometimes it can actually create the exact opposite experience of what we really want. So think about what you fear as it relates to relationships. Maybe you're afraid that you'll be alone forever, never finding the right one to spend your life with. Maybe you're afraid that you'll have to settle in order to have someone by your side. Are you afraid that you're not pretty enough, not thin enough, not outgoing enough, not whatever enough to have love in your life? Are you always afraid that men leave or that you'll be abandoned? Are you afraid that he'll cheat? So you find yourself incredibly jealous and suspicious of what he's doing many times? Maybe you secretly fear that love is for other people, but not for you. Even though you might know that's intellectually not true, it doesn't mean that sometimes we don't carry some of those little fears around. Maybe you're afraid that you're somehow not worthy of real, honest, and lasting love. Whatever your fears are, I want you to name them. I want you to take a moment and write them out in front of you. Why do you do this? Well, there's two things. The minute you look truth in the eye, it immediately has less power over you. Lies love to hide out in the dark corners and not be talked about. So just by simply stating your fears, you've already increased your level of awareness about what you're most afraid of. And its grip on you probably hasn't gone away. But it should feel a little lighter because you can call it by name now and look it in the eye. And the other reason that this is important is that many times, I told you, we actually unintentionally create the exact experiences that we fear the most. We don't do this on purpose, but let me give you an example. So I never, whenever I talk about client examples, I never use their real name. So I'll use a client, and I'll call her Cindy. She had a fear that men always leave her. So when she would start dating someone really early in the relationship, she started to get a little nervous when he didn't call or text, you know, maybe exactly when he said he would or when she expected it or maybe when his communication patterns changed. And so when that would happen, it would make her a little bit anxious, and she would start creating stories in her mind about, well, this one probably won't work out either. Even beginning to think about all the things about him that she doesn't really like anyway. Almost trying to beat him to the punch so that, you know, when it didn't work out, she wouldn't be too let down or disappointed. And then inevitably, at some point, he would call, and she wasn't just confident and at ease with him. It was like this big relief. And then later she shares her fears by saying, oh, yeah, you know, I started to think maybe you just weren't that into me. So what happens when we're so afraid that someone's going to leave us is that we actually bring a needy and graspy energy to the relationship. Now, let me give you another example of where this can happen. So think for a minute. When you go into a department store and someone comes up to you and says, hi, can I help you? And you say, oh, no, thank you, I'm just looking. And then they go on to say, well, have you seen the sale that we're having on our pants today? They're all 20% off. And when you spend more than $100, you're going to get a $10 gift certificate. And you're like, yeah, thanks, but I'm just looking. And the salesperson keeps going, right? Sure, no problem. Would you like to try that dress on that you're looking at? I can put it in a fitting room for you. So what does that make you want to do? What does that energy make you want to do? It makes you want to run away, right? Get the heck out of there because it's graspy. And when you're chased, what do? You run. And it's the same things in our relationships. When we're so afraid that we're going to be abandoned, we actually create the experience, the energy that makes people want to run away. And then when they do, we use that as evidence to support that fear. Look, it's just more proof. And then over time, that fear becomes a belief, because a belief is just a thought that we keep thinking over and over. And we keep thinking that everyone always abandons us. And the more proof we acquire, the greater the belief becomes, and the more negative energy we bring to the next relationship. So we've actually been unintentionally creating the experience ourselves, but it all started just from a place of fear. So that's why I think it's really important to get clear about what your fears are. Even if they don't make intellectual sense, even if they don't, you know, even if you know, well, they're probably not true. Because when it comes to love, I think fear is always present to some degree. You know, many of us want to move past fear or just bypass it altogether, never really looking at it or even admitting that we have it, because that might somehow mean that we're weak or something. We make it mean something about us. And so I would challenge you to learn how to coexist with that fear. And here's how you do it. You allow the fear to be present. Acknowledge it. Without any judgment, without trying to change it. Just knowing that we all have it, so there's no shame here. Everyone's got fears. Just be aware of its presence, noticing it when it rears its ugly little head, being honest about it, calling it by name. Oh, I know what this is. This is my fearful story that everyone leaves me, that everyone's going to break up with me, that every man leaves. And then you learn to dance with it a bit. And the way you do that is get a sense for, is the fear that you have as strong as your excitement about whatever it is, about the opportunity for love? And if that's the case, if there's at least equal parts of fear and excitement, then be willing to move forward consciously, even if it feels a little wobbly or a little scary. You just do it from a conscious place. Step number two, step number two is a really important part of this process of preparing for love, and I call it soulful truth-telling. Many times when we're looking for answers about why we don't have the love in our lives that we want, we look to external factors. So here's some examples. Men are intimidated by strong, successful women like me. All the good ones are taken. All I attract are married men, players, bad boys, needy men, you name it, fill in the blank. All I attract are fill in the blank. Or I'm unlucky in love. Here's the problem. Looking outside of ourselves doesn't work. When you're running through the story in your mind or with your girlfriends over and over and over with these beliefs that you've been carrying around, you actually stay stuck right there in that story. And there's no opportunity for freedom there. Because the reality is, number one, we can't ever change or control anybody but ourselves. And sometimes that's plenty. And number two, on any given day, that's quite enough on any one of our plates to deal with. So it's simply just crazy making to think that we're able to take care of someone else's journey in addition to our own. So you can stay there in the story of I'm unlucky in love. All the good ones are taken. There's no good guys in this city. Like you can stay there. You can stay stuck. You absolutely have that choice. You can keep your suffering if it makes you feel good. But if you're courageous enough to go deeper than that and just tell the truth to yourself, then that's your ticket to freedom. It doesn't undo or negate anything that was done to you, but it provides that little door opening for freedom. So let's dip our toe in that water. I want you to think about what have been the patterns in your relationships so far, in all of your meaningful relationships that you've had. What have been the patterns? Are you always the one that leaves the relationship, or are you always the one that's left behind? Is there a pattern there? Maybe, I have several clients who, they have a pattern of they will stick around no matter how bad it gets, even when they're both miserable, until he can do the one thing that she wasn't strong enough to do for herself in that moment, and it's in the relationship. Maybe do you attract only men that are taken or committed or even married? You seem to attract only bad boys, the ones that you don't quite trust completely but can't help to be drawn to. Or maybe you always seem to connect with people that aren't ready to commit or aren't in a place where they want a relationship. I want you to look for the patterns, because once you understand the patterns, that's when you have the opportunity to understand the role that you played in creating that experience and then creating a different experience. Now, I understand that this can feel a little prickly. I call it prickly. That's just the word I use, because I think it's easier to stay in our story about why we don't have love. We can point to other people and say, yeah, but they did this, and this is the proof, and this is the evidence, and this is the experience. But there's no opportunity for freedom there. It's a dead end. But this is the work that most of the world won't ever do. And that's because it's uncomfortable. So I applaud you for being here and being willing to just look a little deeper, to look for those patterns. And that's why I'm asking you to take this walk with me, because my guess, because most of the people that find me as a coach, they want a love that looks dramatically different than what most of the rest of the world has. So they're willing to do something that most of the rest of the world isn't willing to do. That's okay. Here's another question that you can ask yourself in the vein of soulful truth telling. It's where and when did you abandon yourself? Emotionally, physically, spiritually even. Where did you neglect or abandon yourself and your needs in a relationship? Did you become far more worried about making them happy than making yourself happy? Were you looking for someone to love you enough that you would then learn to love yourself? Maybe you allowed other voices to drown out your own. Or like many women, you put everybody else's needs before your own. Why don't you just take a minute and reflect on what rings true for you, knowing that you're not alone and there is no judgment here. We have all abandoned ourselves from time to time for the possibility of love. And anyone who tells you they haven't is just not in touch or lying or something, because we've all done it. It actually comes from a pure place. And we don't set out to abandon our own heart and our own needs. This is not, you know, we're not masochists. We don't do this on purpose. We just don't know that we're doing it. So that's why when you can just start really gently telling the truth to yourself, it creates that opportunity for miracles. The last place I would ask you to look for in the concept of soulful truth-telling is, where did you not tell the truth in the relationship? Where did you not tell the truth to yourself in that relationship? Was it more important to look perfect and act perfect than to let your true heart in all of its mess and magnificence be really seen and experienced? Did you have fears that you just couldn't or wouldn't articulate to your love? Maybe you were attempting to be someone that you're not so that they might love you more. Unfortunately, it's far too common, but I hear it a lot, that maybe you were being emotionally abused, but you refuse to recognize it as that because you don't like to think of yourself as a victim. Maybe you just put your needs and wants on the back burner. Where did you not tell the truth to yourself? That's when the beauty and the breakthrough occurs, because once you can see your role in the experience, there's power there. Because then you have the opportunity to create a different experience for yourself going forward. All right, step three that puts you on your path to love. I call this step, what's keeping you stuck? Now that we've looked at the patterns, that you've acknowledged so bravely, here's why it's really important to heal those. I'm a believer that everyone comes into our lives as a teacher for us, just as we are for them. And what we don't acknowledge and heal will continue to show up again and again in just a different pair of pants until we finally learn what it is we are to learn from that person. It's just going to keep repeating. So when you identify those patterns and like, why do I always attract the same type of men? That's where the gold is. That's where the truth is. So let me give you a personal example. When I was newly divorced and single and I was trying to figure out this whole dating thing close to 40, I had just moved past the heartbreak from Michael. There was this period of time, and this was not a long period of time. This was a period of, I'm going to say 2 to 3 weeks, where I had 4 different men with no connection to each other that reached out to me. And every single one of them were in a committed relationship. One had been dating a woman for years. 2 were living with women. And 1 was married. Now, I could have stayed stuck in the story that the only men who find me attractive are taken. But in reality, the only common denominator was me. So I had to get really honest about what my role was in this. And here's what I found. I was willing to be the, quote, other woman. I was willing to settle for second place in their life. I wasn't going to require anything of them, which meant that clearly my standards needed some altitude. But as soon as I did that, I'm telling you, as soon as I had that clarity and I decided I was going to make a future that looked different than that past, these men fell off the map. They literally never once reached out again. And it was just a shift in me. All it takes is a little bit of courage and some soulful truth-telling to get that breakthrough. That's when I started creating a different experience. So remain open to learning the lesson. Learn what it is these relationships are there to teach you. Be willing to make even small changes in your beliefs and your actions, and you will find that people showing up in your life will look dramatically different than the people who used to show up in your life. So what is the lesson that you can take from each of your past relationships? I know you probably won't have time to do that on this call, but I would encourage you after you get off this call to just reflect on that a little bit. And then I'd ask you one more question to ask for each of your relationships, and that's, what was the gift that that person gave you? Because when you can identify the gift, it's going to open you up to our step four. In every relationship, there's some gift that you can take away, even when it's painful. I'll give you the example of, you know, the real painful breakup that I had with Michael, my little fire guy, right? Was he awakened feelings in me. And I'm so, so grateful for that. He was not the one that I should be with forever. But what I learned was that those feelings were mine. And if I could have them with him, I could have them again. And in fact, I did. All right, step four. Step four is all around forgiveness. Let's first talk about what forgiveness isn't, because I know sometimes we can resist it. Forgiveness is not agreeing with what was done. Forgiveness is not a sign of weakness. It's not condoning somebody else's bad behavior. And it's also, by the way, it doesn't mean that you have to stay in a relationship with that person. I think so many times we think, oh, okay, well, if I forgive them, then I should be able to sweep it all under the rug and forget about it. Forgive and forget. I encourage forgiveness. I don't necessarily encourage forgetfulness. And I don't think you have to stay in a relationship. You now can have different boundaries with that person. Forgiveness is a practice. It's a choice, and it's a learned skill. And I know you've heard this before, but that's because it's true. Forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. It is not for the other person. You don't even have to tell them you've forgiven them, because it probably won't change their life at all or change their actions. But it will absolutely change yours. It frees you. Now, forgiveness is critically important before you enter into a new relationship this year. Because if you make the choice, and this is a really important part, if you make the choice to stay stuck carrying around resentments from old relationships, we actually continue to attract that same type of betrayal into our lives. So I want to repeat that, because we're all just energetic beings. If you don't release those resentments, you will continue to attract the exact thing that you don't want to attract in your life. That negative energy will become a magnet for more negative energy to come to you. So forgiveness is a really important part of preparing for love. So first, I want you to forgive yourself. There were some things you didn't know. There were some things you didn't know how to handle, how to recognize, how to communicate, how to overcome. I am a big believer in that we are all just doing the best we can with where we are each at in each of our respective journeys. And that once we know something new, we can't unknow it. You can't unlearn something that you've come to learn. And in the words of great Dr. Maya Angelou, once you know better, you do better. So forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know. And once you can forgive yourself, then you have the opportunity to forgive the people from your past relationships. So they weren't what you needed. They made mistakes. They let you down. But if you go back to the theory that everyone is doing the best they can with where they're at in their respective journey, that's the best that person knew how to do. I mean, think about that. They did the best they could based upon what they knew at the time. And people will say, yeah, but he lied, he cheated, she left. Yeah, but that's where they're at in their journey. And it's very likely still a broken place themselves. But that's their journey, not yours. And the last step in forgiveness is forgive everybody else. Forgive the other woman because you and I both know it's not about her. Forgive the friends who, although well-intentioned, didn't know how to respond to your hurt or barrage you with cliches like, well, as soon as you stop looking, you'll find them. Forgive them all. And bless them in their journey. I promise you that that will give you an opportunity to find a kind of peaceful freedom that you haven't known before. And when you show up in your next relationship really clean without carrying a lot of negative energy or resentment, it's really going to have an opportunity to grow and be sustained in a way that past relationships have not. All right, step five. It's a short one, but it's a good one. And this is put yourself first. How you treat yourself is going to be the greatest demonstration of how others should treat you. You're teaching people how to treat you. And if you are always the last thing on your never-ending list of things to do every day, then you're demonstrating to everyone around you, including your love, that you and your needs are not important. And this is especially true if you're a mom. I want you to take note because moms never seem to make it to their own to-do list. So I want you to ask yourself how you can treat yourself as a priority today, particularly today. What one thing can you do to really honor yourself? Maybe you can give yourself the gift of quiet, solitude, and stillness. Even if it's only for a few moments, can you find 10 minutes today to do something that brings you joy? Turning on your favorite song, taking a bath, whatever. How can you show it more fully in your own life? How can you be more truthful with yourself today? Or how can you let your messy, imperfect, and beautiful self shine just a bit more today? What's one thing you can do today? I want to give you an example of one of my clients. Oh, she's so beautiful. I think all my clients are beautiful. Sorry. I'll refer to her as Carrie. She is someone who desperately wanted love in her life, and not just any kind of love. She wants the fun and passionate, soulful and lasting love. And much like me, her first marriage was based on safety. And much like me, after her divorce, she fell immediately, deeply in love with a younger man that broke her heart wide open. And this confident, sassy, successful woman was brought into the fetal position on her kitchen floor in tears more than once. And through our work together, she was able to see how she had unintentionally sabotaged that relationship. We kind of laugh about it now when we talk about it, but she literally would get up and run away every time she felt really seen and really vulnerable. Like when he would really look in her eyes, she would get up off that couch and she would walk into the kitchen. I mean, she was trying to figure out dating in her early 50s. She was trying to be the cool girl in the relationship, you know, trying to navigate dating in today's age. It's different than, you know, when she was married 20 years. So she was never the one asking too much, never responding too quickly to texts and pushing her needs and feelings aside. And that made him think that she really wasn't in love with him, when the truth was that she just wasn't really yet in love with her. Now, once Carrie could clearly see her role in the experience of both her marriage and this recent relationship, that led her to making commitments to herself to never again run from intimacy or hide from vulnerability. She is opening herself up to dating again now, but with a dramatically different level of self-awareness and confidence and a different vision for what she wants in a relationship. Trust me when I tell you, because she has done this work and she's shown up for herself in this way, love is going to find her very soon. I don't place guarantees on a lot of things, but I place guarantees on that one. So be willing to get really honest with yourself. Healing your heart and forgiving yourself and then everybody else, that's when you can begin the process of opening yourself up to a really beautiful, nurturing, lasting love this year. So right now I'm going to take the opportunity to share with you the three steps of my coaching program. It's called My Year for Love, so that then you can take it further starting tomorrow and really find love for yourself in 2015. That's whether you choose to do it alone or do it with me. That is not important to me. What's important to me is that you take that step and make that commitment to yourself to really opening yourself up to both truth and love this year. And if you stick around to the end of this, I will also tell you about a bonus that only people on this call are going to get. And it literally will expire tonight at midnight. So through this teleconference, you've essentially received a few of the most powerful segments in the first section of my coaching package, My Year for Love. It helps you put you on your path to finding love. So this 7-week program is a 3-step process. Step one, not surprisingly, is telling the truth. First, we get really honest about our past relationships and our role in our experiences as it relates to love. Because it's only once we can tell the truth about our history and our patterns, and we unearth those thoughts and beliefs, once we can bring those to the surface and see them really clearly, then we can create a different and a healthier love experience for ourselves. So that's where it starts. Step two is healing the past. Many times we unknowingly carry around whatever wasn't healed in one relationship right into the next one. And all the while wondering why we can't find and sustain the love that we know that we deserve, that we know in our hearts that we deserve. So we want to get at the bottom of those thoughts and beliefs that we've been carrying around with us so that they can ultimately be released. And we can see many other versions of the truth. And once you learn this, you can't unlearn it. So this is a tool that will stay with you for a lifetime. My job as a life coach is to work myself out of the job. I want to teach you the tools. Because life is always going to be throwing things at us. And sustaining a relationship is something that lasts a long time. So I'm going to teach you the tools. And step three, now is the time when we can get to finding the one. It's only once we've done the preparation work and the healing work that then we can get a little bit more serious about finding that love. It's only once we've cleared away the clutter in our lives and our minds and all around our hearts that we can open ourselves up to love and attracting the kind of partner that we really desperately desire, recognizing it when it shows up and then being able to sustain it over time. That's really important. This step is all about not what you're doing, but who you're being. Think about that. Not what you're doing, but who you're being and who you're becoming that makes all the difference in attracting the right relationships to you. And once you've done the work in steps one and two, step three of finding your love actually becomes pretty easy, graceful even, and enjoyable. During this phase, you will make commitments, not to me, but to yourself, about what specific actions you will now be taking in order to attract, recognize, and sustain love in your life. So if you would like a guide for that journey and you're ready to begin ASAP, then I want you to check out my brand new 7-week truth-telling teleclass. It's called My Year for Love. You can find it at myyearforlove.com. It's really easy. It has all the information there. It starts tomorrow night, because usually when people want to make this commitment to themselves and stand up for themselves in this way, they don't want to wait a couple weeks to do it. So being Valentine's Day and all, there's no time like the present. So we'll just get started tomorrow night. And by spring, your love life will be in a dramatically different place. You can find out all the details and register for the course online at myyearforlove.com. It's a 7-week course. It runs from tomorrow through the end of March. You get 7 weekly, 60-minute interactive teaching calls with me. Those are every Sunday night. They're all going to be recorded, and they're going to be placed on a course page so that you can access them even if you miss them. You'll get 5 90-minute interactive coaching calls every Thursday night, and those will also be recorded. And then you've got me on speed dial. You can email me throughout the time that we're working together, the 7 weeks that we're working together, plus 3 weeks after we're working together, and that's all included. So if at any point as you're doing this work you get stuck and you need some help, I'm just an email away. Now, here's the bonus that you get for being on this call and not waiting to listen to the recording, because I know we all do it. We sign up for calls and then we put it off and we wait for the recording. Because you're here, anyone who's on this call and who decides that they want to take the step for themselves to and start tomorrow, and you sign up by midnight tonight, then you will also get one free 75-minute individual coaching session with me. Those are usually $225 a piece. And when we can work together individually, we can go pretty far pretty fast. So you can use that free session with me anytime during our 7 weeks together. You may decide it's right at the beginning so that you can gain some quick momentum in your life. It might be in the middle when you feel like, I'm feeling stuck and I need to move through this, or it may be at the end so that you can really tie together all the pieces of what you've learned. It's your call. Now, before we get off the phone, I want to end by providing you 2 last tools for love. I always like to give a little something extra for people who stay on the line the whole time. So the first is, it's just 3 quick but really powerful steps to manifesting love in your life. These were included in an article that I had published in Mindbody Green recently. So step 1 is creating your vision for love. Get a crystal clear vision of love, of the love that you want in your life. Forget all the physical attributes and your checklist of must-haves and deal-breakers that you've been carrying around, either mentally or physically. Instead, I want you to create a vision based upon how you want to feel when you're with that person. How do you want to feel when the one that you adore wraps their arms around you? How do you want to feel when you wake up next to them in the morning? How do you want to feel when you're walking down the street with your love? That's a vision for love that you can sense, you can feel. It's meaningful and has power. Step 2, we attract what we are. Name the traits that your love is going to need to have. Okay, well, strong, kind, loving, affectionate, compassionate, confident, honest, committed, intentional. Make the list. And because we attract what we are, those are all the things that you're going to have to become yourself in order to attract that person into your life. And step 3 is just show up in love. Work on becoming the best version of yourself, and that love that you've been trying to find will find you. Finding love has way more to do with who you're being and who you're becoming than the logistics of what you're doing. And the second tool that I'll provide you, and it'll be in a follow-up email, is I'm going to give you my Freedom Manifesto. If you haven't already gotten it off my website yet, it's a super cool, inspirational thing that you can, put it up as a screensaver, save it as a picture, put it on your phone, print it off and hang it on your wall, whatever. But freedom to me is an important word. Freedom ranks right up there with truth for me. Freedom is this deep inner knowing of our own self-worth. Freedom is never placing anyone else's opinions higher than our own. And freedom is allowing others to really see us. So as a thank you for you sharing your time and your light with me here today, I'm also going to be sending you my Freedom Manifesto. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. We were created by love, and we were created for love. And I know we all deserve love. And trying to deny it for very long just doesn't work. So my hope for you, with or without moving forward with me, is that you will find the deep, soulful, powerful, and transformative love that you deserve this year. If you have any questions, I want you to feel free to hang on the line because I am going to open it up once I stop the recording. And if you can't stay on the call but you do have questions, you can feel free to email those to me at Sharon@SharonPopeTruth.com. I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your love and light with me. Tell the truth, heal your heart, then go find your love. God bless.